was a good friend of mine.
Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. Joining me in our studio today is my co-pilot, Lil Barron.
Good morning, Mr. Case.
Lil Barron. You know, we are coming up on halfway through. We're not quite there.
Not quite.
But we are coming up on halfway through the games.
I can feel it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, this is awesome. The time when some of the exhaustion starts to set in for sure, but then also you're just bolstered by everything that's going on. That's what was on my mind today, all day long. Mm-hmm. It's like we prepare all year long for this event.
It is
a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, everything revolves around October. Your whole life revolves around October, and leading up to the games, it can be a little stressful. There's a lot of details and there's a lot of moving parts, and then the games get here and they just flash by. It's almost like it's unfair.
It is unfair.
So much anticipation. It's like Christmas morning, and then anyway. But I digress. We're in the middle of right now.
Let's not miss it.
So I'm curious, halfway through, not quite halfway through, favorite memory, what's something that you've experienced so far?
You know what, I was out at track and field on Monday, I think it was, helping pass out the medals. What a great experience that was. I've never done that before. Oh, that was amazing.
So much fun. One of the best places to be at the World Senior Games is at the medal stand.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, I cried. I laughed. I cried some more. It was awesome.
It's amazing. There is so much joy, like real joy, not just like, oh, I'm feeling good or today's a good day. I mean, just joy. At the ability to just have some success and to rise up and surprise yourself sometimes. I mean, there's something special about that. I'm glad you got a chance to experience that. I don't always get a chance to be there just because of logistics and things that are going on. But when I do, I feel it.
I feel it.
And it's like, you say this all the time, but it's like, that's why we do what we do.
Exactly.
You get a chance to just see it personified right in front of you, why we do the things that we do.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Favorite memory for myself, just really quickly, it's always the opening ceremonies. Whenever we're talking about the first week of the games, we always do this show, and it's always the ceremonies. It just always is. And this year, it seems like every year there's a little something that just stands out that was like that moment, you know. And there were maybe two or three or four that really really stand out. But I loved being able to have Charlotte Sandel with us, even though she couldn't be with us.
I love that.
So Charlotte Sandel was going to be our inspirational speaker.
Yes.
101-year-old swimmer. Mm-hmm. She'd registered for the games and everything, ready to go. She's been a longtime athlete at the games. This was going to be just this really cool, amazing 101-year-old wisdom that we're going to get. And then she called me last week and said, oh, I'm so sorry, but I can't come. I'm at the Huntsman Cancer Institute getting treatment right now. And so super disappointed, but we worked out a way where she could pre-record her message. And I just thought it was spot on.
I thought so,
too.
It was
everything that the games are about, the friendship, the competition, the camaraderie, the drive to keep doing better. You know, she said she's going to be in the pool again next week. So she's in recovery. She's still got, I shouldn't say she's not in remission.
No.
But she is recovering. She's moving forward. We are all cheering for her. But to have her be able to share just a little bit of that evening with us, even though it was pre-recorded, was really special to me. And then the other thing that really stood out that I just loved, we did the opening ceremonies in the Burns Arena for the first time. We've normally done that outside. We brought it inside, air-conditioned comfort, you know, chair backs.
Didn't have to worry if it was going to rain or not.
Chair backs on the seats. I thought that it was a great venue. But it was a little bit closer, a little bit tighter, a little bit more intimate. But the way that we presented our flag extravaganza really stood out to me. Because I was on the floor, because I had to have access to the stage, because I was hosting the show, we were just right down there in the middle of it. And when the flags came down the stairs and circled the arena, it felt like you were just in a sea of flags, like you were in an ocean of flags. And I thought about the world and the conflict, and you know, Ukraine's been going on for a while, and now we've got the Middle East that's in turmoil, and any number of places around the world where there's just difficulty and struggle and hardship. And I just felt symbolically and literally immersed with the world. And I felt that, you know, I felt that. And I just wish that you could bottle that little feeling up and send it out, you know, in packets to some of these places. But that was really special for me.
It was.
And and more to come.
Yeah.
More to come because, like I said, we're not even quite halfway there. So there will be some other great memories. But today's guest.
Yes.
This is a good one. During the year, we get to talk with a lot of our athletes. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're from outside of the area. And so we Zoom them in, and that's great. But we get to visit with people in person.
Yes,
in studio today. This is so excited. So exciting. We're really looking forward to our visit. We've got one of our track and field athletes. David took up running 5Ks, he says, to cope with stress in his 30s. He ventured into sprinting and swimming and even conquered a marathon. Congratulations. Whoa. That's an amazing accomplishment. At 40, David became the father of two boys, which spurred him to prioritize fitness. And then it's kind of like a little switch got flipped, and David really doubled down on track at age 48, achieving national and world titles in sprint events, breaking records at the 2023 USATF Outdoor National Championships, and then continuing on. Despite injuries, David is determined to constantly surpass his fitness goals and enjoys the added social and mental health benefits as well. David, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
We're glad that you could join us. I'm glad that you could be here in St. George with us. we're well into your track meet. You've had the chance to compete a little bit, but this is your sixth time at the Huntsman World Senior Games, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
So what do you think? What's the verdict? How are you doing so far this year?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, everybody has their goals, and you have
absolutely.
And I did not make that goal in the 200 meter, but it was a new Huntsman Games record for the age group.
Awesome!
But I wanted it to be the best. But I was like, I think 3 100s off, but that will give me a goal to shoot for next year.
Absolutely.
So there's a silver lining.
a little incentive.
Yes.
And we were talking off air about 3 100ths of a second, like what a minuscule amount of time that is. Like that's literally almost like just wearing the thicker jersey that day when you lean across the finish line.
I think it's a nose, maybe a large nose.
Yeah. Maybe a pimple on your nose is just what you needed to get those 3 100ths of a second. But that is awesome. Congratulations on the Huntsman World Senior Games record.
Yeah.
And tell us the events that you're in. You obviously the 200, but what are the other events that you're doing?
The sprints, 50 meter, 100 meter, 200 meter. And if the competitive urge gets the best of me, the very painful 400 meter.
You know, the 400 is considered a sprint, but really it's torture, right? I mean, running as hard and as fast as you can around that entire track is not an easy task.
The toughest people on the track are the 400 and 800 meter runners.
Those are tough races.
Total respect for those people.
Yeah, tough races. So you're registered for it, and just depending on timing and health and injuries and things like that, potentially going to go for it.
I'll cave.
So we're at a brand new track and field facility this year. So you've been with us for the last few years. We loved Snow Canyon High School. They were a great host.
Yeah.
But we've been able to move over to Utah Tech. We're at the Greater Zion Stadium, state-of-the-art surface for the track. Just a different feel. Talk a little bit about that. What does that feel like to be over there now?
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's going to be great for the Huntsman Senior Games also, just to have that bigger venue. Mm-hmm. It's got that more important feel than a small high school. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
And again, state-of-the-art facilities. And we're just grateful for the partnership that we have with Greater Zion, but also with Utah Tech University.
Yeah.
And to be able to be there, I think it's going to help us propel forward in the direction that we want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was there on Monday, I heard a lot of great comments about that. So
we've got the video board.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of room, plenty of space.
Yes.
Obviously, there's lots of space.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's the track. The surface itself is just state of the art, and hopefully, we're going to see a lot of records fall because it's a great track.
Yeah.
It's a great track. So,
well, I think it's fantastic. I saw the drones flying around and the huge video board.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as years go by and you learn how to utilize that even more, it's just going to be a fabulous presentation for the fans too.
I think so as well. Yeah. I think so as well. We're very excited about it and looking forward to, as you said, learning how to use the space better and just make sure that we're capitalizing on all the resources that are available and really looking forward to it. So I said in your intro that you've done a lot of different running, a lot of different sports, a lot of different things. You've kind of focused in on the sprinting a little bit, but you didn't start that way. So talk a little bit about how you got into running, and then how did you like settle in on the sprints are the thing for me?
Let's see, how far back do I go? when I was a little kid, I could run pretty good.
Yeah.
And I would go to the local baseball games. I grew up near a town of 3,000. My hometown's got 59 people in it now that I'm not there. But in that small town, the Little League baseball games were the big thing. I had got an older brother, 2.5 years older than me, and when we were kids, he would often get me, like when I was nine, David, I need you to come over here and run against, these are people that were his age.
Yeah.
And so we kept, you know, having these races going. This is while there's a game, a Little League game going on.
We were off
behind the bleachers.
Yeah, you're just the side entertainment, right?
And there was race after race after race. And I'm like, Joe, I'm tired now. I can't do this anymore. And he seemed to always have, you know, either an ice cream or Coca-Cola or something. And then I later found out, I mean, like very recently, that he had been betting on those races.
Unbeknownst to you.
And then he didn't share with me.
He was reaping all the profits and not sharing anything with you. But he knew you had some speed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
well,
awesome.
At least he knew how to benefit from it. And so I knew I could do it then, but I was always running, you know, baseball, which is 90 feet.
Yeah.
And maybe 40 meters in the outfield playing center field.
Sure.
But I never got the opportunity to run 100 meters. There was no track anywhere near my high school.
Yeah, tiny little town.
Maybe 30 miles away was the nearest track. And I don't think I can't even remember when I saw a first track. Maybe when I was an adult. I was fully grown even before I saw a track. But my wife and I moved out to Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
And this was when we were in our late 30s.
They know a little something about track out there, right?
And, you know, when in Rome, you do what the Romans do. And I knew nothing about Eugene, and I wanted to, you know, be social. So I started asking people, what do you do in Eugene? They said, well, this is Tracktown USA.
Yeah,
we
run here, right?
And I said, no, I don't know. And they were just beside themselves that I could be so ignorant. But they took pity on me and taught me, you know,
took you under their wing
and told me the Prefontaine story. And they said, well, what you need to do is join the Oregon Track Club. And so I did. And they said, we practice two nights a week and come on out and start doing that. So they said, look, you're a tall, thin guy. Maybe you can do distance running. Oh, I'm not so good at that. And then, they said, well, you played baseball. Maybe you could throw a javelin. And wasn't so good at that either.
A little trial and error going on here.
Then they got me running sprints, and they said, well, you know, maybe you have something here. And they put me in the Hayward Classic track meet shortly after that. It's a master's track meet.
Yeah.
And I hadn't trained much at all. And they put me in a 200 meters. I knew nothing about that and took off as hard as I could and about near ripped my hamstring in half.
Oh,
and
so,
that ended my foray into track in my late 30s, but I picked it up again later. So that's how I got started in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the injury didn't deter you. It just waylaid you for a little bit, but then you decided to come on back to it.
So I had kids when we were 40. That's when our kids were born. And, you know, it's about priorities. Fitness is the ultimate goal. That's what you want.
Sure, sure.
And if there's other things that you can do that give you motivation for that desired effect, like competition, then that's good. But you have to keep it in perspective as to what's important. So it's not so much the competition as it is the fitness. And if the fitness causes me a pretty severe injury that I cannot be a father, you know, maybe you need to think about the priorities. So, you know, I do it with the perspective that I do have other priorities. You know, it's not full intensity. Oh, I've got to win this. And this is the absolute goal at the expense of all other things. No, it's the fitness, and the competition helps me be distracted from, say, the pain of the 400 meter.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that. I think you're right on. The, you know, the ultimate benefit is to be around for these kids and for your family and for your wife and for the, you know, that's got to be the goal. That's got to be a big part of it. And so you go about that in a variety of different ways. And I think, like you said, I think the competition can be a strong motivator. It doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all, the means that that means that it's everything, but it can be a strong motivator. And then you just find a way to keep things going. Now, you're kind of being humble about some of your involvement. You've had a lot of success. I mean, when you talk about the world of track and field, it's a very deep pool, and you've risen to the top in a lot of ways. You've set some records. This is going to put you on the spot and make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, maybe, but talk a little bit about some of the success that you've had. You've literally set world and national records.
Teams. It's not just me.
Sure. Absolutely. And I get that, and I don't want to downplay that at all, because I believe in that. I believe in that. But also, someone has to be the one who crosses the finish line, right?
Yes.
And in this case, it's been you, and you've been doing that faster than anybody else around for the last little while. So talk about that. Some of the records you broke, and what that feels like.
Well, it's been with relay teams. Just this past summer, I ran with a 4x100 meter relay team at North Carolina A&T.
Okay.
At the USA Track and Field National Championships, and we set the world record, a new world record, by a substantial margin. So,
now, is your team from this track club in Oregon, or have you gathered people together from around the country or the world? How's the team been built?
I was at a track meet, an indoor track meet. I'd never seen an indoor track before. Down at University of Houston. I just wanted the experience, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I went there and ran the indoor race with the bank track, and there was a fellow there. His name was also David, and he said, "Hey, are you going to be going to the indoor national championship in New York City?" And I thought, oh, I hadn't really planned on it.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, if you go, would you like to join us in a relay team there?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, it turned out that he was the president of the Southwest Sprinters Track Club. And coincidentally, I happened to get the meeting there, and I joined this track club, which is a, relatively speaking, a prestigious track club.
Sure, yeah.
And so the members of the 4x100 meter relay team were all Southwest Sprinters members.
Oh,
how cool is that? Yeah. So all from the South. Did you all know each other before you got together as a team, or was it the team that introduced you to each other?
I knew of them.
Of them.
I could tell a story about how, you know, I was in awe of the members. You know, there was Francois Boda and Khalid Mulazim was two of the people that were on it. And with those, you know, for me, from growing up in the South, there's flamboyant names, you know. And when I first started track and field, I went to one of the track meets and I saw them in their, you know, shiny suits.
Yeah, track suits and the uniform,
and
yeah.
Incredible pedigree and, you know, credentials. And then here's me with, you know, gym shorts and a t-shirt on. I'm wearing middle distance shoes and I'm so nervous. But, and it turned out that years later now I'm teammates with them, and we're going for world records. So.
Wow.
And it probably turned out, I would guess, I don't know the end of the story, but it turned out that they're probably just normal people too, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Isn't that fun when we discover that about people, that we're all just kind of normal people as well? I mean, you know, we all have our gifts and talents, but we're all just kind of normal people.
Yeah. It's, you know, after you get to know everybody, you had mentioned earlier in the introduction that the social aspect of this is huge.
Yeah.
And that's what I like most. You know, especially track and field, I have never met a sad person at track and field meets. everybody is happy.
Upbeat, excited. Yeah.
And I love being around that. And even if I weren't competing, I would still just want to be here to be around everybody and the happiness. It's great.
There is something to that. Is something to that. And we see that here at the World Senior Games for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think it expands beyond that. I think it's part of masters and senior sports. Yeah. There is an obvious physical health benefit to competing and being a part of an athletic culture. Just as important, there is a huge mental and emotional health benefit as well.
Yeah.
And we see that, and you especially see that in your masters and seniors athletes, because like what you said, it's about priorities, right? I think as youth, high school and college, it really is about that win. And we work really hard to do that. And you have your rivalries and the people that you like and you don't like. And there's that's just part of the part of the process. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just a different thing. But when you get into the masters and the seniors, it feels like a lot of that kind of fades away. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah. Yes. It's definitely a different feel. I should tell you that I grew up having a father that was a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Played in the major leagues for 13 years. So I saw firsthand the focus and the dedication
that it requires. Yeah.
And the physical pain. And, you know, my father gave me some advice. He wasn't a very talkative person at all. In fact, they nicknamed him Gabby because he never,
said anything.
And so to fill the silence, I had to talk, I guess. But, yeah, I'm familiar with that level of intensity, and I know how, I think, to put the competition into perspective, to say, you know, this isn't the highest priority. One of the higher priorities is fitness.
Yeah.
And how can I use the competition to promote
to achieve that goal?
So if I'm sitting on the couch with a bag of potato chips watching a 3-hour football game, and I know that Danny down in Texas or Wayne and Curtis in Philadelphia are trying to lose 10 pounds to trim off another half second off the 400 meters.
Right.
I think about that.
There's a little bit of motivation
and
there, right?
It makes me get off the couch and go for a walk, or you know, do some push-ups, mm-hmm. or whatever it may be. And so I utilize that competition to get to the goal of mm-hmm. fitness, and that's for my family.
I love that. Yeah. And again, yeah. I do think we see that. You know, there's a lot of ways to stay engaged mm-hmm. In your community and in your family and with yourself, mentally, emotionally, physically. A lot of different ways to do that. People can do it through music, through art, through service, through volunteerism. Sports is one of those channels as well. Mm-hmm. But I love the way that you described the motivational aspect of the competition part of it. And I know I've experienced that in my life at different times. Mm-hmm. I try to work out. I try to stay fit. I try to do things. And sometimes I find it to be a grind. You know, I think we've all been there, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
But you put a competition out in front of me, and I think many athletes, and all of a sudden it just changes things a little bit. There is an extra level of motivation, and it's not about beating somebody, or it's although it's fun to win. Of course, it's fun to win. It's fun to get those medals, those ribbons. Those things are fun, but it is about you know, just being your best self, and that competition mm-hmm. can be a real element of motivation there.
You know, Kyle, you put a finger right on it. It's about being your best self.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. You can say that as competition against yourself. It doesn't matter where you start. Let's say you run 100 meter in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow you go for
29.9. Right.
And that's a victory.
Yeah.
And if you can get it on down to 11 and a half seconds, then great.
Yeah.
You know,
you
can have even more fun, but you start where you start, and you take heart of the successes that you have, and it's a competition against yourself, basically, to be the best that you can be.
So true. Yep. So true. David, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much.
We wish you the best. You got a couple of races coming up today, and hopefully you'll have some success there as well.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Lisa.
Awesome. Good stuff, Lil.
Yeah,
so fun to visit with our athletes.
Yes, it is.
Listen, we're running a little short on time, but there's a few things I want to just bring up to wrap us up here. This event, The Huntsman World Senior Games, it's so special. It's such a celebration of life and active aging. And we really want to invite everybody to just celebrate with us, our athletes, our volunteers, our sponsors, our community, members of our town. If you're out of town and you're just visiting us, just come and celebrate with us. There's several things that we have coming up that allow you to do that. On Tuesday, October 17th, we have Chris Collins in Boulder Canyon. They're going to share all the biggest hits of John Denver. The gates open at 6. The show starts at 7. It's at the Burns Arena at Utah Tech University. I got to mention our Friendship Festival. We've got so many just fun activities coming up October 11th through the 13th, and then October 18th through the 20th is at the Dixie Center. Just come on down and celebrate with us. It's a chance to just come and relax, hang out with our athletes, hang out as an athlete, come and have fun with us at the Friendship Festival. Next week, we have the pleasure of interviewing another one of our Huntsman World Senior Games athletes who plans to compete in all three of our race walking events. 63-year-old Eric Johnson is not only a 10-time overall race walking champion here at our games and a recipient of 50 medals in the past 12 years in various track and field and race walking events, but he is also the only person who has won the Utah Best of State Statue Awards twice. So we get a chance to visit with Eric next week. Remember to tune in live next and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 or FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show and turn it into a podcast, and the podcast is available wherever you find your favorite podcast. Today's inspirational thought comes from Vincent Van Gogh. And he says, "Great things are done by a series of small things brought together." Until next Thursday, stay active.